Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 93 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. With me are my two colleagues, Saurabh Somani, who you can find at Saurabh underscore 42 on Twitter. And then we've got Shayan Ahmed Khan as well, who you can find at Tweets by Shayan on Twitter. And if you are new to the Crick Picks podcast, here's a quick briefing. What we do on this show is that we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five each, or, you know, top four each at times, in a snake style draft competition, which basically means that the pick order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. Also, before we get into proceedings, I'd like to tell everyone that all of our shows on the Good Areas Network are powered by our supporters on Patreon, and you can become one of them by going to Patreon.com/Good Areas Podcast, and then you can enjoy ad-free content, you can talk to us exclusively, and you can give us quick pick suggestions. Also, sometimes what we do on these shows is that we combine to draft teams of 12, and that's what we're doing today. And I'm not sure if this idea came from one of you guys, Saurabh, Shayan, or if this was like a recommendation from one of our viewers, but it's a very fascinating topic. Yeah,
what was it? It was a YouTube comment, and we sort of repurposed it slightly, but the genesis was a YouTube comment. Yeah.
It's a very niche
on one
topic
of the earlier Crick Picks. Yeah.
Extremely niche. Loved the suggestion. Can't remember who gave it, so apologies, but you're a legend because we're now here. Attempting to assemble a Jacques Callis ceiling test team. And what that basically means is that we have to, you know, kind of draft an all-time test team. But the cricketers in, you know, question would be those who have fewer, you know, wickets than Jacques Callis's 292. Fewer catches than Jacques Callis in Test cricket, and fewer Test caps than Jacques Callis's 166. And also, since Jacques Callis is the fourth highest run scorer of all time, we went with a, you know, lesser batting average than Jacques Callis's 55.37 in Test cricket. I'm quite excited, and Shayan has first pick, so let's see where he goes.
Yeah, so I think I'll just steal Saurabh's first pick and I'll go with Jasprit Bumrah as my first pick. And I think the reason is pretty clear. He's one of the greatest bowlers of... He is the best bowler of the modern generation. There is no doubt about that for me. Even in Test cricket, he is in that comparison with Kagiso Rabada and Pat Cummins, right? But I think even within those three, it's Bumrah who is the cut above even those two guys. And when we're talking about all formats, obviously it's an even different conversation, but sticking to just Test cricket, he has played 50 Test matches so far. He has 226 wickets, average of 19.83, which a lot of us are still tracking that it has to constantly be under 20. So I think he had to go.
So it's interesting because Jasprit Bumrah might, it's a big might right now, but there is a possibility he overtakes Callis's wicket tally, right? 292. So this may not remain relevant in the future, but it is right now. And he is the only bowler with 200 plus test wickets who averages below 20 with the ball. So pretty straightforward pick. And I suppose both of us are a bit miffed because Saurabh is the self-proclaimed president of the Bumrah FC. And I'm the one who keeps stealing that title from him. So I'm pretty sure all of us were going to pick him. It's a solid first pick.
Yeah.
All right, then.
I mean, I was hoping that none of you two pick him first. You know, I thought there are other more sort of established players who you'll pick first and I'll get to pick him.
Yeah.
But Shayan is a party pooper, so.
Yeah, well, big time party pooper.
Lots of options, actually,
yeah,
if you think about it.
It's going to be a very fascinating 12 at the end of this podcast, I feel. But since we don't have our good mate and colleague Varun Alvaconda with us, well, he's alive, but he's not in the show, right? I'm going to do something that he would have done. Varun loves fast bowling. So I'm going to stick to that trend and I'm going to go and make him proud. My first pick for this Jacques Callis ceiling test team is going to be Joel Garner. I think he has to be in there. 58 test matches, 259 wickets. He's averaging 20.97 with the ball, which is ridiculous. He delivers his balls from, 6 feet, 8 inches. And he is an out-and-out legend, one of the greatest fast bowlers to ever grace the game. And I've recently started to, you know, kind of assess the careers of all of West Indies' great fast bowlers. Garner is still quite high, probably number one if you look at both formats, tests and ODIs, guys.
Yeah, I think if you look at both formats, he might be number one.
There's
but
Ambrose
just
too.
Test, I think I think Garner might be slightly above Ambrose, even though Ambrose has a longer career. But Garner's numbers, so it's very difficult, you know, it's just If one day if you give preference to longevity, then it'll be Ambrose. One day if you give preference to just the pure numbers, it'll be Garner.
Yeah.
But I think just tests, actually, it'll be Marshall, right? Like everybody says Malcolm Marshall was
Thing is that he has more wickets than Jacques Callis, right? Yeah. I was looking at their careers overall, tests and ODIs.
And he's not eligible. But
Because if you remember, I mean, Saurabh, you weren't on that show, but Cheyenne, you'll surely remember this. When we did the ODI knockout for bowlers, I think Garner won. The entire thing, right?
Yeah, so, even I wasn't on it.
you weren't on it either. Sorry, I've got all of these podcasts mixed up by
which
now.
Which is why Behram, you are not the president of the Bumrah fan club. Hmm. If I was there, Bumrah would have won, not Garner.
It was a very fascinating final. It was Garner versus Saclan, I think. That's what we ultimately came down to. Jared is my boss. He's the one who employs me, and that's why I've given an answer in which he will be happy. You know, he'll be really happy with the Joel Garner pick. Big Bird it is. We've got our two fast bowlers, or two of potentially three fast bowlers already in Bumrah and Joel Big Bird Garner. Now it's on to Saurabh Somani for two back-to-back picks.
Yeah, so I'll also make Jared proud, or I'll suck up to him further, depending on how you look at it. So, my first pick is going to be Keith Miller.
Okay.
He is, I think, the only all-rounder. He was one of the world's greatest all-rounders. He's the only one, I think, who qualifies in a Jacques Callis ceiling team. And it's so important to have an all-rounder, right, to give that balance to the side. Keith Miller could open the bowling in this team. I don't know if he'll open the bowling or he'll bowl first change. We can decide that later. But he could open or bowl first change. And he was a very, very competent batter, especially when he put his mind to it. We know that there were times when he just sort of couldn't be bothered to apply himself, or just, you know, was doing it for hits and giggles. But he was undoubtedly one of the most talented cricketers. So I think he is the all-rounder who will balance this team. So Keith Miller is the first one.
It's a very fascinating pick, by the way, just on Keith Miller. Jared always mentions that back in the day, you were either a Bradman family or a Keith Miller family. Right? And I love that bit, because they're two very different people. Keith Miller is the guy who goes rogue and he doesn't really care about anyone and loves his life and his cricket, whereas Bradman is extremely concerned with where his next run is coming from. And of course, that's why he averages 99.94. So the thing is that Jacques Callis is one of the greatest all-rounders in Test cricket, and other great bowling all-rounders have more wickets than him. So that leaves us with a very small pool. And I suppose Keith Miller is a better pick than Chris Cairns, for instance, right? Like, that's where we're at currently. And there might be a couple of other names that potentially could come up in the remainder of this podcast. But I think that's a solid, solid first pick for you, Saurabh.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Bradman or Miller family, right? Jared, I think, has mentioned that his was a Keith Miller family.
Yes.
So, Jared, whenever you listen to this, just note it for when appraisal time comes. So I pick Keith Miller first.
Where do you want him to bat, though?
I think we can keep that open.
Put him at six or seven for now.
Yeah.
Let's discuss that later.
Yeah.
For now, I feel like he can be a floater, but eventually we'll figure out his batting position. All right, then, Saurabh, what's your next pick?
I'll pick another one that'll make Jared proud. I'll pick Sydney Barnes.
Yeah, I thought you were picking him first, actually. Yeah.
I mean, Jared is a Keith Miller family, no? So I had to pick Keith Miller first. And plus, I mean, just all-rounder and all that. And Keith Miller was more of a rock star, I think, of his time. So he just was a more charismatic first pick. Yeah. But Sydney Barnes, 100... I mean, I'm not even looking at the stats, but I know that he had 189 wickets in some 27 tests at an insane average of 16 point something. If he had played two more tests, I'm in a way glad he didn't, because Bumrah still remains the only one to get to 200 with a sub-20 average. But Sydney Barnes would have got there for sure, because he was averaging 16 point something at 189 wickets. And I don't think test cricket was played as much, was given as much importance at that time. So I think he just went off and played county cricket after a while. But you can't argue with the guy's numbers. And he was, by all accounts, able to switch between spin and, seam up or bowl fast spin. So he would basically be handy on every kind of pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
The thing with Sid Barnes is that Jared always explains that back in the day, the lines were blurred between fast bowling and spin bowling, and Sid Barnes was like the poster boy of this, right? He was the epitome. And it's funny how we're now moving towards that same sort of trend in modern day cricket. You've got the likes of the Fizz, right? Who could be considered a fast spinner at times. Bumrah's cutter could well be an off spinner. For instance, so it's interesting how we've got both Bumrah and Barnes in this team. I don't think there should be any two ways about it. Like, they both deserve to be on this team. And I'm just thinking, who's going to open the bowling now? That's a tough one, right?
No, we have Bumrah, Barnes, Garner, Keith Miller. That's already a really great, all-time great level bowling attack, you know?
I think you'd probably open with Barnes and Bumrah then. First change would be Garner. And then, you'd have Miller.
No, not Barnes. You'd have Barnes bowling spin, right? So you open with Miller and...
No, I think Sid Barnes was a new ball bowler, bro. I think he opens.
Yeah,
he opens. Okay.
Anyway, so it's back to me then.
Yeah, so those were... Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to just cop out and go for the easiest pick in this draft, guys. I'm sorry, I'll leave the hard stuff
for
you guys.
I know who you're going for.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to pick a wicketkeeper, there's only one that averages above 50. And he also made it to Jared's list of top 50 batters in the art of batting. He's, in fact, the only frontline wicketkeeper to make it, which kind of, you know, speaks for itself. And yeah, my next pick is going to be Andy Flower. 63 test matches, 4,794 runs, and a batting average of 51.54. He hasn't taken as many takes as Jack Callis's caught catches. But Callis has caught like what? He is also the fifth highest catch taker in test history with 200 catches. So this wasn't a hard metric, I suppose. It only rules out a couple of cricketers. But I mean, this should be unanimous. There should be no questions asked. Of course, Flower is keeping in this team.
Yeah. And he can bat at five as well, you know.
Yeah.
So from a flexibility perspective, it's also...
Yeah.
I feel like, you know,
I was just thankful that he had less than 200 dismissals as a keeper. You know, he has 151 catches and 9 stumping. So he's below the threshold. So it made it easy.
Absolutely. And again, you know, terrific player of spin, terrific sweeper of the ball. Very good wicket keeper as well, by the way. So it's not like we're compromising on glovesmanship. So yeah, finally we've got someone who can bat in this team apart from Miller, because we clearly went fast bowler heavy at the start, which is in line with good areas. Heritage, I suppose. Anyway, now it's you, Shayan, who has back-to-back picks.
Yeah, so I think I'll go away from the bowlers for a bit. I think I'll go for two batters now. So my first batter would be Sunil Gavaskar. So he can be our opener. Yeah. And obviously, I mean, the first man to get to 10,000 runs. He has 108 catches, just the one wicket. Average of 51.12 with the bat. So I think... if we make a list of all-time great openers, I think Gavaskar comes third on that. If you go by the art of batting list that we prepared. Because Hobbs and Hutton are ahead of him, if I'm not wrong. So, but after them, it's obviously Gavaskar. And both of those two have a higher average than Jack Callis's 55.37. So, I think this is a pretty safe pick. And I will go for another safe pick. And I'll go with Brian Lara. He can bat at number four in our team. And he played 131 games. Took 164 catches, averaged 52.88. So, I have no issues with that. At number 4 specifically, he averaged 51.25. And he only has one not out in 148 innings, which is quite fascinating. Okay.
And so, he's...
which one that is, right?
He's the anti-Imran Khan or anti-Elise Perry.
Yeah, exactly.
If he has only one not out, that is that 153 not out, right?
At 4, I mean.
Specifically at 4.
Specifically at 4. Overall, it's 6, if I'm not wrong.
Okay. That's also really few. Huh? Yeah. Just 6 not outs in a whole.
Exactly. That's why his overall average looks a bit less compared to some of the other greats. Because I think if you look at just runs per innings, it's one metric that favors him quite heavily.
All right, then. Sunny G averages 51 plus with the bat as test opener. So obviously he was in my team as well. And Lara had to make it. Like, there's no way Brian Charles Lara doesn't make it.
Cheyenne has picked Brian Lara in 3 consecutive cricket podcasts.
He's the new Wasim Akram, Brian Lara.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's back to me now. We've got two batters, an all-rounder, and 3 fast bowlers. And Now I need some time to think about this, so it's an opportune moment to tell you guys that we'll be going off for a break. You're watching Crick Picks with Shayan, Behram and Saurabh, and go nowhere because we'll be back in like half a minute.
I have traveled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Welcome back to the Crick Picks podcast. You guys are with Shayan, Behram and Saurabh, and we are currently assembling a Jacques Callis ceiling test team. It's funny, actually, this randomly came to my mind right now, and this is not me buying time, I promise. But Callis just turned 50. He just turned 50, right? So yeah. That's also fascinating. Now I'm thinking maybe we should have had an age range to this as well. You need to be younger than Callis, but no. I suppose we could have recorded this earlier and maybe timed it better, but that's fine. Very happy belated birthday to you, Jacques Callis, you absolute legend. All right, that's enough time bought for me now, officially. And so there are two candidates at number three. Without name dropping them, one of them is currently playing and is the only guy who can bat at three anymore, right? Mm. And the other guy is from Pakistan.
The other guy.
Yeah. The other guy is from Pakistan.
Oh, no.
Oh, you've got another guy. Okay, interesting.
No, wait. Number three is Brian Lara, right?
He's batting at four in this team.
Yeah.
Either way, all of these guys could shuffle, but I don't want to make that pick. I don't want to choose between the New Zealand legend and the Pakistan legend. So I'm just going to give us another opener over here and I'll pick Matthew Hayden. I've gone Haydos. And the numbers are terrific. 103 test matches, 8,625 runs, a batting average of 50.73. Now we have Lara and Hayden in the same team. And both of those guys, you know, have scored the most or highest individual scores in the history of test cricket. Lara's 400, not out. And of course, there's Matthew Hayden's 380 versus Zimbabwe. And Haydos, again, I like the versatility. He scored heaps of runs in India and wasn't fazed by spin. And I feel like, you know, maybe it's a bit of bias from my side because I've grown up loving or admiring Matthew Hayden. But I actually feel that he's one of the greatest openers to play test cricket. Very, very frankly, like that's where I'm at with him, which is why I've just gone for the safer pick once again, leaving the hard stuff for both or hard picks for both Shayan and Saurabh. So, yeah, let's have it then, Saurabh. We've got back to back.
I think actually Hayden was also a tough pick in the sense that there were other contenders like Graham Smith is there, Virendra Sehwag is there. Yeah.
Gordon Grange.
So it's difficult to Gordon Grange. It's difficult to separate all of these guys. Yeah. I mentioned Graham Smith and Sehwag particularly because they are all contemporary, right? Hayden Smith and Sehwag all play at the same time.
Yeah.
So and they were all having their own fantastic career. So it's difficult to separate. But like if you had picked any of these three, I don't think any of us would have a problem because each of them has a case. So Haydos is
Plus, I didn't have Hayden both in my list, but I don't mind it.
Interesting.
I went with Greenidge, but I had Boycott, Smith, Cook, and Sehwag. But obviously, even Hayden can make it if it's Sehwag.
I had Hayden in my long list, but I went with Graham Smith in the end. I just thought he had a more rounded sort of record. Yeah. But it's all very
subjective.
Hayden was stronger at his strengths than Graham Smith was.
Fair enough. Anyway, we've got two openers now who both average 50 plus. We've got Brian Charles Lara, who is currently slotted in at four, but I feel like Saurabh is about to do some funky stuff and we might have to move him to three. I have that gut feeling. And then
we're going to move Lara to three.
We're going to move
Lara to three. Yeah. Okay. Because I'm picking Viv Richards.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. No, fair.
Fair enough.
I had him too, but in the list. Like, I wasn't sure if I'll put him in the, if I was going to put him in the 11.
Okay.
So I just think that at his peak, Viv Richards, the peak Viv Richards batting that we have seen was not that any of us have seen it, but whatever it was, I'm not even that old, guys. I have not seen Viv Richards at his peak. So, but he was one of the greatest ever, like, you know, a candidate for a top 10 batter of all time. I don't know, where was he in the art of batting? Was he in the top 10?
He was in the top 10.
He was
8th.
Oh, there you go.
8th, right. So then like, that just fortifies my pick even more.
I mean,
I think he needs to be in a...
What really kind of what really strengthens Viv Richards' case is that, sure, he's averaging 50 plus in 121 test matches, but he's striking it at nearly 70 in that era in test cricket, which is just flat out ridiculous. So I feel like I do not disagree with this. I'm fine with compromising or kind of just letting go of those two players that I had in mind, because Viv cuts it. Of course he does.
Same.
Yeah. I mean, those two are also really great, obviously. Mm. But Viv is just a cut above, I would say, which is why, you know, I went for Viv. So I have one more pick.
Hmm. We're going to struggle to find spinners, aren't we?
No, I'm going to pick a spinner.
Oh, he's going to pick a spinner. I'm going to pick a spinner. All right,
yes,
then.
Please. Yeah.
Nice one.
I'm going to pick Tiger Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, okay, okay. Now you're really doing Jared proud. Jared, he wants a raise from you.
This is full Jared in this podcast. I've picked Keith Fuller, I've picked Sydney Barnes, Viv Richards, and Tiger Bill O'Reilly.
Wow.
Jared, please note this down. So, but Tiger Bill O'Reilly was, you know, the guy, I picked, actually, a lot of these guys, I picked them in my test draft also, when we had the draft, that is, I think, Varun Shayan and I had picked Sydney Barnes, I had picked Tiger O'Reilly. I hadn't picked Keith Miller because Shayan took him the chance before I wanted to. but I think I had picked Viv Richards. So three of them I had picked in my test draft team. So it is not as if I'm just sucking up. I also rate these guys.
Fair enough.
But Tiger Bill O'Reilly was the guy who Bradman considered the best bowler he had faced. And if Bradman considers you the best bowler he has faced, then you are pretty special, right? His and his record stands up. I think he had an average of 22 or something. He was also, I think, a fastish leg spinner.
Yeah,
he was. Now fast. I don't really
as far
know.
As I remember, yeah. Yes.
So yeah, but his record basically stands up. It stands up to scrutiny. Plus, you have the Bradman endorsement. So I feel like there was another spinner that I considered, but I just lent more towards Bill O'Reilly because of these factors, and because he wrote possibly the best article that I've ever seen on Bradman. He had written it when Bradman turned 70, and the two didn't get along actually. When they were playing, they did not get along. They didn't particularly like each other. But he wrote such a heartwarming tribute to Bradman when he turned 70. And he ended it by saying, the little fella is 70, not out, well on his way to a century as always. I mean, we know he didn't get there. But he described how, as a schoolboy, he thought he was pretty hot stuff. And he came up against the Boral team, school team. And there was this kid who he didn't know. And he spent the whole day bowling to him and getting smacked. And then it describes how he went home and is like, what are you doing being a cricketer? The water's fine. Go swimming instead or something, you know. It was very, very nicely written and all that. So just, we are all journalists finally. So we'll give it to Bill O'Reilly for the stats and the written word.
What are his numbers? I'm just curious. How well has he done?
I'll tell you his exact numbers.
144 wickets in 27 games. Averages 22.59. Economy of 1.94.
Those might be better numbers than Laker. I'm just curious to see what Laker did.
Not so
that
sure.
Was the other one.
Yeah.
Laker was the other one I had. Yeah.
That's the one that I had in mind, right? Because he picks up, what, 19 wickets
I had
in
another,
the same test match?
Actually, I had an all-rounder in mind who could bat at number 8 as well, an Aussie captain. I had him.
Oh, okay.
okay.
As one of the contenders, but I mean, it's fine. Like, I have no issues with
so
that.
So he could have commentated on the team also if he was sitting out. Is that the guy you had in mind?
I think if you're nitpicking with Bill O'Reilly, the only thing I would say is he doesn't play in Asia, which I mean, obviously he couldn't in that time. But if we want more variety and everything, maybe we can look at other options as well in the next two.
I mean,
rounds.
Laker.
But I know Behram is not going to pick a spinner. He hates spinners, I think.
I mean, look, in my mind, Laker was the name which was front and center. And, and Laker has 193 wickets in 46 tests. He's averaging 21.24. So, I mean, it was probably close between those two guys, Tiger Bill O'Reilly and Jim Laker. What's our team looking like, Shayan? I just need to know what positions we need.
For the positions.
We need a number five, I think.
Yeah, so not really, no. So we have Gavaskar and Matthew Hayden opening the innings, followed by Brian Lara 3, Viv Richards 4, Andy Flower 5, Keith Miller 6, I think. So we need a number 7, and I think we can have a 12th. And obviously we have the three paces.
Or what you can do is, You can push Flower and Miller one spot down and pick a proper batter. And
No. Yeah. We need Why another not? Spinner, guys.
So
we
you pick the other spinner. You do that. Then.
You have two spinners.
yeah.
No, we have two spinners in Sydney Barnes and Tiger Bill.
Sydney Barnes is not a specialist spinner.
Yeah, he's somewhere in between.
Yeah, that's like calling Mustafizur Rahman a spinner, dude.
Yeah.
I think.
No. Come on.
Yeah, that is kind of like, at least that's my understanding of it.
I'm not going by the exact thing, but
I feel like Shayan has a point that we'll probably need one other spin bowling option in this, because I also consider Barnes to be, you know, somewhere in between, and he takes the new ball, so it's kind of different. I'll pick an out-and-out batter who can bat in the lower middle order then, okay?
Okay.
And I'll make this easy for everyone. AB de Villiers is my final pick.
No,
and,
you can't pick him. He has more catches than Kallis. Pick him.
Oh, he does? Yes. You're kidding me.
I was going to pick him too.
AB de Villiers
but
is out.
The same thing.
I looked at AB de Villiers too. AB de Villiers does not qualify.
Really? He has more catches than Kallis?
Yeah.
Yes.
He kept wickets also, no? So I think that makes sense.
Oh,
yes.
That kind of makes things tricky for me. I suppose
there are.
No, I know
two.
Where I'm going. I know where I'm going.
Okay.
So then just give me... Oh my God, so hopefully this guy qualifies. You guys are checking this for me anyway, so I'll find out soon enough. I'll go Alan Border for my last pick.
Yes, then. He qualifies.
Yeah.
He was there in my okay.
Yeah.
List.
Why not? Because, you know, Alan Border played 156 test matches, which is 10 less than Jacques Kallis. He averaged 50.56 with the bat, which is 5 runs less per dismissal than Jacques Kallis. And he can bowl some part-time, spin as well.
Yeah.
So that really kind of gives us everything that we need. And Shayan can probably now pick up a, out-and-out spinner as well, if he wants to. And
an out-and-out pacer if he wants to. There is a pacer that is also golden times.
I know who I'm picking.
Okay, well, before you go there, there is one thing that is interesting over here. I just want to point this out for you, Shayan, because you are, like me, very much concerned about the completeness of the team with respect to balance. So we've got a leg break bowler in Tiger Bill O'Reilly, and now you have a slow left arm orthodox part timer in Alan Border. We do not have a conventional off break bowler.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Listen, are we picking? Are we counting Viv Richards' off spin as?
Ooh, exactly. That's the same thing, right?
True, that is the same thing. Actually, exactly.
I'm not going to count. See, the way I look at all rounders is a bit different. You know, you guys know that. I'm more bowling heavy, I think, in that regard. So,
yeah,
I think I will go for a spin bowling all rounder. Speaking of all rounders, I'll go with Shakib Al Hasan. And I think he can be our 12th man, really, in this team, who can come in place of maybe Keith Miller or one of the other pacers, maybe, actually, depending upon the conditions. See, this is why I was thinking if we could have 3 pacers and 2 spinners in the normal team, and then if we had Shakib for Asia, that could be 2 pacers and 3 spinners. I thought that was the combination that made sense to me. But no, I think it's fine. We'll go with Shakib.
I mean, we can go up to 15 if you want.
I am okay with that.
We are not going up to 15 because that makes this all the more easy. And I can just go ahead and pick up Kane and Yunus then. And I don't want you guys to let me do that. Right? Look, it's an interesting pick, Shakib.
You can pick one of them.
There was at one point during this entire exercise where I just thought to myself, does Stokesy get in? Right? Just thinking to myself.
As a question mark. I was thinking about it.
And then at this point, I was like, no, I'm probably with Shayan a bit more over here that I'd rather have more spin bowling options in this team. And so Shakib is an interesting pick. He's going to be 12th man in this team. And in terms of, honorary mentions, I suppose for me, I was really considering both of Kane Williamson and Yunus Khan. Those were pretty high, for me, those two guys.
I had Yunus at 3, actually. But now that Saurabh suggested that Brian Lara could be 3 and Viv could be 4, I think that opened up a possibility I wasn't thinking of at the time. But initially, I had Yunus at 3 with Kane as the backup. And number 4, I had, Brian Lara.
Also, I was considering Inzi for 5, but then AB is one of the best 5s that we've ever seen, right? So there was that. And then AB didn't get picked anyway. So Border... was a pick solely because I wanted us to give some, or wanted to give us some part-time options. And then again, all of those guys average above 50. So it's really like you pick your poison, right? Who else could have made it over here? Michael Holding?
Greg Chappell, Michael Holding, and Alan Davidson were there in my long list. Greg Chappell, I think.
How are you forgetting him? Highest individual score.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Brian Charles Mulder.
I think it was between Greg Chappell and Alan Border for me for that last batting spot. Border, I think his record stands up pretty much everywhere. You know, I think he averages above 45 in every country he's played in, if I'm not wrong. And Greg Chappell, of course, now it depends. It's a very aesthete thing, no? Like Greg Chappell was very easy on the eye. Alan Border was not.
Yep.
It was like whether you were picking Lara and Chandrapal if they had similar records. I know Lara is a cut above, but if they had similar records, you're doing that basically. But and Greg Chappell gives you the seam option that is part-time. Alan Border gives you the spin option.
Yeah. So just, also, really, now that I think about it, maybe Jim Lakers should have made it, Shayan. We've got enough batting in this team. No?
I told you, no. If we went with three spinners, if we went with two spinners in the main 11, with three pacers being Bumrah, Gardner, and actually, no. I think because we picked both Bumrah, Gardner.
Shayan,
and,
you could.
Yeah.
You could have picked Laker, right? Instead of Shakib, if you want.
No, the point is with Shakib, you get an all round option as well. No. He can just come in at.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that.
It's more about the flexibility, I would say, with Shakib. I'm not denying that Jim Laker is the better bowler, but if you just have Shakib at 7, you can play him at 5, 6, 7, depending upon the positions. Maybe even lower if you just want him as a bowler. He won't do that.
We keep doing this to Shayan. We pick teams where we'll have to make do with the second spin option.
Yeah.
And but Shakib says that I need another spinner.
I'm not
Shakib is a second option is great. I'm not worried about that either. The only issue over here is that, you know, he would replace Keith Miller then on a Turner, right?
Yeah.
That's so if you were going with Laker, you could just remove one of the seam bowling options. That would have been the difference. But then again, it's not the end of the world. Yeah. And we probably missed a lot of players as well, by the way. Sorry, guys. I did not come prepared for this at all. Clearly, these two had done a lot more homework. But ultimately, we've come up with a pretty decent team. So, Shayan, if you could tell the 12 to our viewers and listeners first and then our individual picks each, that would be great.
Yeah. So, we have Sunil Gavaskar and Matthew Hayden opening the innings. One down, we have Brian Lara. Two down, we have Viv Richards. Three down... we'll go with Alan Border.
Yeah.
Then number 6, we'll have Andy Flower. Number 7, Keith Miller. Number 8 will be...
Sydney Barnes, I guess.
Sid Barnes, probably. Okay, fine. I don't even know the batting records of all these guys. So
I also don't know.
Yeah, we'll just go with Sid Barnes at 8. Bill O'Reilly at 9. Jasprit Bumrah 10. Joel Garner 11. And Shakib Al Hasan as the 12th.
I think Jasprit Bumrah deserves a promotion. He's got 35 runs in an over.
Yeah. Well, Tiger Bill O'Reilly is averaging 13. Yeah, Bill O'Reilly
is averaging 13.
13 in first class in Test cricket. Nearly 13 in Test cricket.
Okay, fine.
So maybe he's the guy. It's a fascinating team. And you guys let us know what you would have come up with for a Jacques Callis ceiling
Behram,
test.
Individual picks are also left.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, individual picks. Sure.
Yeah.
So I picked Jasprit Bumrah, Sunil Gavaskar, Brian Lara, and Shakib Al Hasan. Behram picked Joel Garner, Andy Flower, Matthew Hayden, and Alan Border. Saurabh picked Keith Miller, Sid Barnes, Viv Richards, and Bill O'Reilly.
Okay. These are...
I think I like all our picks, man. Everyone has picked like
it's
proper all-timers.
Strong picks all across the board. I do feel that Shayan will probably win this because he's got Gavaskar, Bumrah, and Lara. And you guys should let us know in the comments who you think has won between the three of us. And also let us know what you would have done differently, what your 12 would have been, who did we miss out on, who didn't even get an honorary mention but deserved it, right? There are tons of those things. So I suppose that kind of wraps up this episode of Crick Picks. And as you all know, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. That can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of our team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. And as I mentioned at the start of this podcast, all of our shows on the Good Areas Network are powered by our supporters on Patreon. And you can become one of them by going to patreon.com/goodareaspodcast, and that way you can enjoy ad-free content, you can talk to us exclusively, and you can give us more Crick Picks recommendations, man. Trust me that we really need some recommendations at this point as well. We are nearing episode number 100 and we've got some ideas for that. But that's all for today. We'll see you again next week or the week after that. So yeah, have a good one, folks. Enjoy yourselves and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.